Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today. Hello and welcome to our after show, which is not actually happening after a show, but we're still doing it anyway, so we'll call it that.
Yeah.
This is the Gays Revolting, and you are joined by myself, Thomas, Luke, and the gorgeous Kyle. How are you, boys?
Good.
We're still here.
I got some exciting news. What? I got hemorrhoids.
Wait, backtrack.
So I want to talk about hemorrhoids because I got them and the doctor was like, yeah, gay men don't talk about them enough because gay men use their butts for sex and so they don't like talking about it when gross stuff happens. So I thought, what a great topic for our Patreon subscribers. Yeah. We're going to talk about my butt and your butts as well. Oh, okay. How to look after your butts and what to do with your butt. So butt stuff. Basically, I had had some discomfort in my butt for a little while. And Kyle, you're doing that really cute face where you try to look like you don't want to laugh. But
I'm not. I am deeply
I had a little bit of discomfort. And hemorrhoids had crossed my mind that it could be that. But I Googled it. And of course, like the pictures you see on Google are the most extreme.
Oh, God, don't Google that.
So I'm like looking at it, taking a leaf out of your book, Luke. And
with the mirror.
Standing over the
squatting
mirror.
Squatting over a mirror.
Yeah, having
a
good look at it.
Oh, boy.
And I couldn't see anything. And I had a feel inside and couldn't feel anything that felt like these pictures that I saw on Google. So I thought, oh, it's not that. And then I thought maybe it could be something STI related, or you know, there's a whole list of different things. So when I went for my last regular checkup, I had a little chat to my wonderful doctor about it, and she was very, very helpful. And she said what it was basically it was a very mild case of hemorrhoids, but what it had done was stretched the skin over the area where the hemorrhoids were, which had made the skin feel quite tender. That's why I wasn't sort of seeing these bulging grapes that you sort of, you know, bulging grapes that you sort of imagine when you think of hemorrhoids, but untreated or not taken care of them properly could lead to that. Yeah. So
this is a great episode for visual thinkers.
Yeah. I've been telling all my friends about it because I didn't know enough about hemorrhoids. It's something that seems pretty basic.
And now everyone will know.
So I thought maybe we should just probably explain what hemorrhoids are. So it's basically just abnormally dilated veins in your rectum. So from pressure, basically.
And pressure usually, from a dick?
No. Okay. So you don't get it from anal sex, but anal sex can aggravate it. So it's caused by, you know, when you sort of, most commonly when you're sort of, you know, if you're
forceful
when you're pushing out a poo, basically,
right,
to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But it can also, you know, people that lift heavy weights can get them from when they're,
because they get falls
so,
out,
you know,
sometimes
when you're like lifting, if you're sort of squatting and lifting weights and stuff, that all that tension that you're putting on your butt on your pelvic floor, I guess, can cause it as well. So yeah, usually the most common for your everyday person cause would be, you know, bad diet, low fiber, high fats, and that can get more prevalent as you get older.
Yeah.
As I was saying, they're not caused necessarily by anal sex or fingering or anything like that, but that can aggravate it and make it worse or slow the healing process down.
So you can just wait for them to go away? You don't have to get treated? Or
You really should do something about it, but
I mean, they're not going to stay there forever if, like...
Yeah, so you can sort it out pretty easily.
I have no joke.
Most people. So, yeah, I think it was something like 94% of people can sort it out by diet and care. So, things to think of is your diet and changing what you're eating. Also, fiber supplements. So, like Metamucil, a few good scoops of Metamucil. That's really helped me out, I'll be honest.
My recommendation.
Yep, they've just been falling out of me. One of my friends... I was talking to a friend at work about it the other day, and I said I was gone to the Metamucil. He said, oh, you've moved into a paperless office. So that's something that can be really helpful so you're not really straining when you're going to the bathroom. Also, avoiding prolonged sitting. So if you're sitting down, if you work an office job or whatever, if you find you're sitting down for too long, getting up and walking around and that sort of stuff can sort of alleviate some of that pressure. Yeah. And if you are someone that goes to the gym, apparently, it's good to learn how to be doing, you know, your proper squats. So isolating the glutes and breathing properly in order to lower the pressure.
And Kegels.
Is that a girl thing?
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't what Kegels know. Are. I feel like I'm doing Kegels listening to this whole podcast. Like.
And also using butt plugs also to help your, if you are into receiving in anal sex, using butt plugs to sort of relax a bit. And
I thought you were saying definitely use butt plugs to remedy it. Oh, you don't have to. I'm not sure that's like the answer for everybody.
Just generally.
And then if you do find that you've got them, there's a few different things you can do. Yeah. So that all those sorts of things will help you sort of avoid getting them. But if you've got them, then things like warm Epsom bath salts. It's not something that I've tried, but apparently that's recommended. Creams like Anisol is good.
It's a creative name.
It is a good name, isn't it? Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I had a giggle when I had to go buy that the other day. And they can sort of relieve as you are healing. But still, softeners are still a very good way of helping once you've already got them. And drinking lots of water. Lots and lots of water.
Doing it
right
now.
Keep everything nice and
hydration.
Soft. Yeah.
One of my exes had hemorrhoids. And I remember it was really early on in our relationship. I'd stayed the night and I'm super blind without my glasses and we were going to bed. And I was in the bathroom and I was like, your toothpaste tastes like fucking shit.
Oh no.
And like spat it out. And he came in and he was like, did you get it from this drawer instead of like the collection of toothpaste
Stop
in
it.
Front of me? And he's like, no, that's Anisole.
Yeah, wood tastes like shit. He's had the tube up his ass.
Yeah, so I brushed my teeth with his Anisole because they're white. Oh, they're in a tube in the exact same sort of shape and size as a toothpaste.
That's
container.
A horrible mix up to make.
I've had a few people use hemorrhoids as like an excuse not to bottom. And
I wouldn't call it an excuse.
Or like
it's
not
pretty
to have
good.
Sex.
Well, I've always questioned it being like, I don't bottom in general, like ever,
because
I get hemorrhoids. And I've always been like, oh.
I thought you do bottom.
No, I've had people say that
to
me.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
And I've been like, so as a flat out rule, you never experience bottoming because sometimes you get hemorrhoids. And they're like, yeah. I've
I had
always
an ex
like,
that was in that situation.
Questioned that a bit. But then I saw the anisole in the drawer and I was like, no, you
tried. Oh, you are legit. Or they're just really dedicated to the excuse.
How's your how's your butt health, Luke?
Oh, you know. I actually take quite a bit of care of my butt. And this sounds stupid, but my anus is one of the most active parts of my body right now.
Your anus is a temple.
Yeah, it's like getting the most action and the most exercise.
A rugged, ruined temple.
Yeah, it's what Jesus went into to throw out all the merchants. Yeah.
And it's also something that I want to be able to continue to use well into my old age.
Yeah.
So I'm always sort of keeping tabs on if anything ever feels weird. I see my GP all the time anyway.
Do you think a squatty potty helps?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does anyone have a squatty potty here?
No, but my housemate, when they came out, so yeah, for anyone that's not aware, a squatty potty is this very good market.
The advertising is so good for it.
Thing to, because Western toilets are not built the way that we're designed to poo. So we're designed to squat, where your butt's sort of sitting much lower than it does when you sit on a toilet. So the idea of the squatty potty is it's like a little stool that you put your feet on, so that your sphincter basically relaxes and all the muscles
allows
in your ass.
The flow
exactly, and it helps to pass shit basically. When they did that marketing campaign, my housemate and I were really poor at the time. This, it was like 6 years ago, and they were like $90 or something.
Yeah, it's literally so a step in front of your toilet.
We just got a washing basket and put that there,
and you're like, really, this does wonders.
Yeah. Actually, I forgot about that. Maybe I'll buy a squatty potty.
Oh, I love that's a good that gift. This is a market. Like, it makes me laugh so much that there's a $90 piece of wood.
Yeah. Literally.
Like, literally.
But the marketing is so funny. They're like unicorn poops.
But they explain it really well.
Yeah, they do.
Without
they do
showing
so
you
good.
Anything brown and icky. Yeah.
I grew up in the Philippines. We squatted to poop because it was a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, like, there ain't nothing like magical and wellness and like Instagram worthy about
oh, please
the way
don't Instagram it.
We were pooping in the Philippines when I was a kid. It was poverty.
But that's not. What are they called? Squat toilets are not necessarily related with poverty. There's a lot of countries in the world.
We still have them.
Yeah.
And
I was very surprised to see the club bathroom in Italy, in Milan, when I was just there. I opened the cubicle. I'm like, where is it? And it was just a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah, a lot of countries. And even in Australia, like a lot of airports now have squat toilets as well as Western toilets.
Oh, no. I'm just saying for my family,
we
squatted over a hole because we were poor.
Yeah. Freshly dug grave.
How's your anal health?
Kyle. Probably fine, I guess. I don't know. No, get nothing to write home
out.
About.
Have you ever squatted over a mirror?
I have not.
You've never even seen.
You have to have a look.
I don't know what color my butthole is.
It'll blow your mind when you
I'm
going
to imagine it's a rosy pink.
Yeah, isn't it like, isn't it so, your like nipples, lips, and butthole always like the same colors or something?
That sounds scientifically correct.
It's like the same, correct, it's like the sensitive, like they're all your sensitive areas.
I don't know if that's a fact or not, but have a look and a fact. You can tell us next week. So yeah, that's some ways that you can sort of try and relieve hemorrhoids, and that should work for most people. In some really severe cases, you can have surgery to have it sorted out. I would say for someone like those sorts of people you're talking about before, Luke, people that where it's affecting them so much that they can't bottom ever, it might be worth something to have you chat to a doctor about getting sorted out, because, you know, that's shit. It would be awful. No, it is though. Like, it would be awful to go through life wanting to bottom, but never, ever, ever being able to do it because of hemorrhoids or even, you know, pain when shitting and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then other things to be mindful of while we're talking about anal care is if, you know, you thought you might have had hemorrhoids and you've tried sorting it out and it hasn't gone away and maybe it's not hemorrhoids. There's all sorts of other things that you need to sort of be looking at and maybe chat to your GP about if you think, have a Google as well.
Yeah. Look at some basically, symptoms. Yeah, don't look at the images, look at the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah.
But and or also like
don't
diagrams.
Don't take it too seriously off Google. And, but it's good to just sort of have a general idea of things.
Basically, like, if your butt hurts, see a doctor.
But it's good to have a general idea of things like anal warts, skin tags, which is something that
What is a skin tag? I always see this written, and like in US things, they always say
it's
skin tag.
It's like an extra bit of skin.
Yeah, but when it comes on the anus, it can often be as a result of.
But is it like
hemorrhoids.
A permanent thing, or is it just like a flaky piece of skin that's coming off you?
No, it's like a.
It's like a flake of skin that's attached to you.
Oh, and
it's
like a mole.
It can look like a little.
Yeah, exactly what it sounds like. Basically, a little tag of skin, which when they're on the anus can be or on the rectum can be a result of damage, and where the skin's grown back and overgrown and that sort of stuff. Fissures as well is a huge one. Prostate cancer, which affects 1 in 5 men over 50, so that's something that you really need to, as you're getting older, really be very aware of.
Yeah,
and of course. The anus's primary function is defecation.
Butt sex.
So anal sex can sort of stretch it and put a bit of pressure on it, and it can sort of pressure the anal tissues in ways that stretch it out and can cause some injuries and that sort of thing and some loose healing. So it's something just to be very aware of. It doesn't mean don't do it.
Yeah.
It means be aware of it. Be keeping an eye on it.
Was not in God's intent.
No, it's fine. God, and you know, the same thing.
Why'd he put the G-spot there?
Women also get, you know, vaginal tears and stuff like that. It's just something to be aware of, so that when you die, you know, looking and wondering if anything's amiss, it's something to keep in mind. And of course, having tears and that sort of thing in the anus can make you more susceptible
if
to STIs.
Anything's amiss with your anus.
I think it's interesting to think about the fact that even gay men who are quite open about their sexual health and their sexual life can still feel
embarrassed
absolutely. Or awkward.
And I 100% did when this first happened, when she said it was hemorrhoids, I was so embarrassed.
Screaming
and
it from the rooftops.
I go to podcasts and talk about getting like chlamydia and gonorrhea and all that sort of shit all the time.
Yeah.
And I've talked about shitting on people and that sort of thing. And for some reason, hemorrhoids are still embarrassing. And then, you know, when I was thinking about the fact she said that gay men don't talk about it, I was like, oh yeah, why are we embarrassed? Like, this is just...
Talk about your roids.
Yeah.
Hemorrhoids.
It makes me think about Dr. George and thinking about how important it is to have a good GP. I think it's something you don't appreciate, until you get a bit older.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what I was going to say and you said it was all right. Because as you get older, you realize, oh, more and more embarrassing shit is going to start happening to my body, and I need someone to talk to about it.
I don't want to sort it out now.
And I want them to be able to sort it really quickly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I always stress doing the shopping now while we're still sort of young and have the ability to do so, to build those relationships with GPs and health professionals now, so that...
And if you are sexually active, you should be getting tested every 3 months anyway.
Yeah.
And I always have felt more comfortable talking to my sexual health doctor about anything to do with my junk, even if it's not sexual health related.
Yeah.
So like I had a tear in my frenulum once. I just felt more comfortable talking to the sexual health doctor, and they're fine with that. They're really absolutely more than happy to talk about your junk and help out with that. Well, that's the end of that.
Of our hemorrhoids topic.
It's not the end of the hemorrhoids.
It's not the end of the hemorrhoids. Give that another week or so.
Thanks for letting me vent about my butt, guys.
That's great. We're used to it. It's just being recorded this time.
Some people paid for it.
Yeah, people are paying for it. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's our show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back for a regular episode next week and an after show. So continue paying
for us. Yeah, for more quality content.
And yeah, get Adelaide tickets in Adelaide.
Come and see us in Adelaide. Come and have a drink with us. It'll be a hoot.
A hoot.
Wendy would say.
Pissed.
And check out our socials.
You know it by now. If you're subscribed to this, you know it by now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, and we're back for the after show.
Yes. Hello, Queens with Cash.
Thank you for subscribing.
Yeah.
Money, money, money.
This is our version of OnlyFans.
I'm super excited because we actually have an opportunity to talk about
this
Charlie.
This is the only space we'd let Luke talk about
Charlie XCX for an extended amount of time. So I think a lot of you guys know I am a stan for Charlie.
Yeah. Did you mention her?
I've said many times that I'm not very good with my modern pop stars, but I really actually like Charlie XCX. But for people like myself, can you explain a bit about Charlie and her style of music and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so Charlie started off in the Tumblr-esque era of pop music and was sort of seen as almost an indie-style pop artist and released True Romance. I think it was 2017.
Would it be fair to say like a young Robin?
I'd say like a UK Robin-ish kind of vibe. It was that kind of I don't give a fuck pop mixed with a Tumblr aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But very slowly over the years, she sort of transformed into the figurehead for future forward, boundary pushing, non-conformist pop.
Yeah.
So she does this playlist on Spotify called The Motherfucking Future, which features just so many random underground artists that are doing interesting things within within the pop world. And sorry, this isn't the actual topic, I promise, listeners. It's not just this. I love Charlie because there's a self-referential kind of tongue-in-cheek nature to a lot of what she does. It's the I'm drinking Bacardis, I'm running away from cops kind of thing. But it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And the music is abrasive, unconventional time structures and things like that. So I really love Charlie. And a lot of gay men, incidentally, also love Charlie.
Gay men loving a pop star?
They do. They do. But she's
also just fucking camp.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's this great video.
Really fucking camp.
There's this great video. A lot of people don't know she actually wrote I Love It for Iconopop.
Oh, okay.
I Love It.
Yeah.
And it became like a staple of her live show. And there's this great video of her absolutely bombing at a festival.
Was that her? I remember that video from ages ago, but I didn't realize. It was in Germany or something?
In Germany.
And she's like, sing along, everyone.
And she's obviously like not engaging with the crowd. So she whips out I Love It. Doesn't get a reaction.
No one knew what it was.
I think about 2 minutes into the song, she's like, I thought you guys fucking loved this song in Germany.
Oh, no.
What the
so
fuck?
So cringe.
But it's that kind of attitude, I think, that has enamored her to the general public, but in particular,
gay men.
Gay men who love people that are a little fuck you.
Push the envelope. Yeah.
And a self-referential camp.
Yeah.
As well as boundary pushing and doing something innovative within a established structure. But that's all just me talking about Charlie.
Yeah.
What's recently happened? Anyway.
Anyway.
what's recently happened and has been popping up, bubbling up on Twitter for a while.
Bubbling
up on Twitter for a while has been some questionable behavior at her meet and greets.
Yeah.
She had one in Melbourne, I think, at a record store, for Record Store Day, and people lined up. So it's like, it's quite sought after within the gay male community to get a spot to a Charlie meet and greet.
Yeah.
In particular, there were two instances that really went off on Twitter. And I don't know if either of you guys have seen
which ones
they are.
Is that
are.
The recent ones with the signings? Is that what we're talking
about? Yes. Do you know which two?
Yes, the two items.
There
was one guy that got her to sign his douche. Correct?
Yes.
And he initially asked her to hold a bottle of Amyl while he was pretending to sniff it.
And she was like,
I'm not really comfortable with that. And he said, can you sign the douche? And she did.
Do you think she knew what the douche was?
Who doesn't know what a douche was?
I mean, I don't.
You know what a douche looks
like? I'm joking. I do.
And the second item was a gay man, male fan that brought a vial of his mother's ashes.
That's fucked up.
And asked Charlie to...
Like, my dead mother really loved your music.
I messaged our producer. I said, if someone comes to the Adelaide show and brings us a vial of their mother's ashes...
Look, I would absolutely sign
it. I'd be thrilled.
To get four homosexuals to sign their mother's ashes. I'd be living.
Yeah.
Living.
But it is... kind of inappropriate.
Well, there was an article. Was it Junkie or a Pedestrian or something that wrote an article saying that gay men are treating her specifically, but also on a broader scale, female pop stars in an inappropriate way, and that this has been going on forever, kind of a thing?
Yeah, we're too much.
I think it was a tipping point.
Yeah.
I think the trendy media had been watching for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is getting out of hand.
I almost hesitant to bring up on the show because it tiptoes back into that really sensitive area of misogyny within the gay community.
I think it's important to talk about, but I have to disagree that this specific instance... I do agree that that exists and the way that gay men treat some of their icons is very misogynistic and quite disgusting.
Oh, totally.
I mean, we talked about in the main episode tonight things being political, and just by being gay, it's political.
Yeah.
A gay man bringing a douche to a concert is political. There's something actually quite about being a proud bottom... is quite political, and associating that with your love for pop music and that sort of thing. There's something very political about it. Now, in that interaction with the guy with the douche, he'd already asked her to sniff the Amyl or to hold the Amyl while he pretended to sniff it. And she said no. And he said, that's fine. So then he was like, well, can you sign my douche? And she said yes to that. So there's a conversation she's consenting to part of it and politely declining other parts that she's not comfortable with.
I like that he just personally, had a plethora of like gay items in his pockets to just whip out. Like, can you sign this? Can you sign this?
Yeah.
What about this dildo?
Yeah.
And the ashes thing I actually think is quite sweet. I mean, I'm just going to assume.
That's weird.
I couldn't find any more information about it, but I'm going to assume that this guy's mum was a fan of Charlie XCX as well.
You would hope
my mother is still alive, and I hope she is for a long time, but my mother and I are huge fans of Bette Midler. And
somehow I knew this conversation was going to Bette Midler.
It always goes to Bette Midler. We just normally cut it out.
Bette Midler, yeah.
I knew you'd find
I nearly got that hemorrhoids topic a few weeks ago to talk to me about Bette
Midler. Midler had hemorrhoids.
No, but Mum and I are both huge fans of Bette Midler, and I mean, I don't know how I would act if I had her ashes. Potentially, maybe I would take them to a Bette Midler concert and say, is it all right if I have a photo with you and my mum's ashes? Because mum and I,
part of
me coming out was about us watching Beaches together. And
I mean, that's cute.
Bonding over,
I think,
I guess, in a way.
The context of that story makes it okay.
But this had no context. I feel like this was just...
We don't know. I tried to find it. There was no context. But I assume if you... No one's bringing their mum's ashes for a gag.
Yeah.
The Twitter tea is... This guy lives for a gag
and
has pulled this kind of stunt at meet and greets a number of times.
And like gays try to get this power on social media of like having these photos with these like pop stars.
Absolutely.
And like getting
one up.
But that's not only on the gays. Every artist in every form of art these days is doing a meet and greet. Fucking Julie Andrews had $600 meet and greets when she did Haim Hall a few years ago. and that's the way that the industry has gone. They're not making money off CDs anymore.
Yeah.
It's about meet and greets. It's about what are your nerdy things that you go to? Your convention things.
I've never been to one.
He doesn't go. I go to them.
Comic Con.
I'm too cool for that.
It's Comic Con's now all about selling meet and greets and that sort of thing.
Totally.
And
yeah.
As long as there is a discussion about whether the artist is comfortable with what they're about to do before it happens, I think it's fine for people to be doing these weird kooky things.
Yeah. Look, I think these two interactions in and of themselves are messy gay dudes acting messy.
Totally.
To an extent.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally fine. Mm. I think the media has taken it as a signpost for a larger problem, which is systematic. Because when I saw these things happen, I didn't think of it isolated as this is a guy that's brought his ashes for Charlie XCX to sign. Mm. I put it in the context of these are also the gay fans that harass her on Twitter for days and days on end. There's a really disgusting sort of back and forth. She's released her first album in like 7 years or something called Charlie this year and doing a tour, which as a fan, I was like, this is great. She's actually got a label supporting her. She's doing a world tour.
Yeah.
Incredible. Did the first ever live show of this tour. And the fans savaged her on Twitter. Basically pulled her apart saying, you're not playing Unlock It, the Kim Petras, the gay favorites. Yeah. You're not doing this. We gave you this money. Yeah. We're the ones that made you.
So critical.
Play our songs or we're not going to come to your shows anymore. Mm. We're going to cancel you.
I have to disagree with you there. I don't think that these are the same gays. I also think we need to point out, so this came up because of this article that was written. Yeah. Charlie XCX personally has now responded to this whole thing saying, I don't agree with what you're saying. Please stop trying to paint me out like a damsel that's in distress.
Yeah.
I have consented to all of those photos. I don't regret taking any of those photos. And every interaction I have with a fan, I'm thrilled to do it because I get to talk to them. Mm. I get to hear about their lives and their connection to my music. And if there's something I'm not comfortable doing, I'll say no to it. And I don't regret doing the photo with the ashes or doing the photo with signing the douche, you know? And she also said that this is nothing but 2019 wokeness, which is an interesting word to choose. Sometimes people can paint wokeness out as a bad thing. I think generally wokeness is a good thing, but I know what she means when she says 2019 wokeness. She's sort of saying you're creating an issue for an article and for clicks. And you haven't even asked. She actually specifically said you never even tried to contact me to see if I was upset about this stuff. And she's not.
I stand by that. I think these meet and greet incidents are not indicative of the problem.
Yeah.
But I think
there is a wider problem. I agree.
The wider problem.
I feel really sorry for these celebrities and pop stars because on social media and Twitter, these gays like get really critical and really nasty and like really pick them apart for even their physical appearances. If they're not like skinny or like not doing anything that abides by like what they want to do. One of my favorite artists, Marina Diamantis from Marina. I'm not sure if I pronounce that correctly, but from Marina and the Diamonds, she just goes by Marina now. But she takes herself off social media because I think she even said, I think they are real fans, but there is a fan culture of degrading people online that I'm really not into. And she takes months and months breaks off because she can't deal with it. And you forget that they're human.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is the point. They are human beings. And you're right that the gays, there are times when we do fuck it up and we do go too far with this sort of stuff. One example that was pointed out in the article and sort of to prove that this has been an ongoing problem was when Judy Garland was sort of towards the end of her career doing these gigs at, small theatres and that sort of stuff, and she'd be very drunk and she wouldn't be able to finish the gig or she wouldn't do some songs and the gays would go there because they love her, but then they'd scream at her when she wasn't able to finish the show and do Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Another example that springs to my mind is another Bette Midler one.
Shocker.
So Bette Midler, as I've talked about many times on this podcast, got famous from performing in gay saunas, and then a lot of the gay saunas in the States got shut down during the AIDS epidemic, and then for decades was criticized by a lot of gay people for not doing enough for the gay community and not talking about AIDS enough and not talking about queer issues and that sort of thing. And it was only recently, a few years ago, that she actually did her first interview talking about the fact that she hadn't addressed these issues, and she said, you've got to remember, all of my friends died.
Yeah.
And that's going back to what you were saying, Kyle, is that she is a human being.
Yeah.
So, we want her to be the spokesperson for everything that we believe
people
in.
People use
We have to remember props. That she, that time in her life, she lost a lot of her colleagues and a lot of her really good friends.
She's and triggered.
That's an incredibly emotional topic for her. So, of course, she's not going to be, doing a meet and greet or doing a press interview for the Stepford Wives and talking about the AIDS crisis because it's something that's very close and personal to her.
There was even that guy ages ago who got a photo Britney Spears and then photoshopped an umbrella into the photo with him.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, that's so nasty. Like,
I didn't get that because reference.
Back in 2007 when she had a breakdown, she was famous for hitting the car with the umbrella.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's just nasty. Like, she's there, she's having a photo with her fan, and then he, like, to turn on, like, to get kind of social media likes and to become,
Twitter
like,
cloud. A big...
Yeah, it's gross.
Have you ever paid for a meet and greet?
I know. I stand by don't meet your heroes.
Cause, like, you've met me, though.
wow. I don't think I'd want to meet anyone I idolize like that, like a pop star. I would never want to just be a fan to them. Like, I just don't like the idea of just being
I went to chase down Shawn Mendes last week when he was at the local cafe. He was
like, I'm coming, Shawn.
That's right. You messaged us. He was at a cafe around the corner from your work.
Yeah, he was getting a coffee around the corner from my work, and someone like messaged me saying Shawn Mendes is at Plug Nickel. And so I was like, oh, fuck. And me and Lizzie, the marketing manager, like bolted out and ran down to this cafe. God. And then I was kind of like emphysema, sweating and coughing, and realized like, I don't even like Shawn Mendes. Like, I can't even think of a Shawn Mendes song, except for Senorita, which has a Charlie XCX co-writer, to bring it full circle.
So you've never paid for a meet and greet?
No. I've gone to the conventions where there's some like included meet and greets.
Yeah.
I've met some drag queens.
As part of a paid meet and greet, or you've just met them at after
it was a gift.
Yeah. Oh, right. The only one that I've ever been to was Bianca Del Rio, which a friend bought the tickets and bought the meet and greet. But she was amazing. She was really like having proper conversations with people. And I was very impressed.
I actually feel like it's kind of, this sounds obnoxious for me to say, I feel like it's really degrading to make someone sit
and
meet.
Have you guys seen all the Avril Lavigne ones when she has like all these stipulations about how they can't touch her and everything?
And she stands like 2 meters away from them. And then she's
like really awkward, like look it up. It's so funny. There's just albums of her just like deadpan face, like standing very far away from a fan.
I feel like it's degrading for both parties. Yeah, so absolutely. I just like don't.
I'd just rather not.
I did very nearly buy that $600 meet and greet with Julie Andrews.
I'm sure that you did.
I was so close. I was like rent or Julie Andrews, you know.
With stan culture, and particularly gay stan culture, and I think it does apply to Charlie. My kind of take on it is I feel like sometimes we can feel a sense of ownership over these artists because we have connected with them on a personal level through their art and through the music that they do.
And you forget they haven't connected back with
And you forget that they have not connected back.
Yeah.
And that their success is not solely dependent on you as an individual.
So true.
And so ultimately, to go after someone that you enjoy their music on Twitter, to change their set list, or to do something that you wouldn't do to an average person at a meet and greet and not even have that self-awareness of like, will this make that person uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
We have a few celebrities nowadays that are very heavily involved in meme culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So they kind of like, they make their own memes and they're involved in the memes. It's kind of like reading when we talked about it and being like, if you read yourself, you open up the floor for other people to read you and it feels okay.
Yeah.
And so I feel with some artists, if they're going on Instagram and like being wacky and memeing themselves and sort of opening up that area, it then allows fans to be like, well, when I go to the meet and greet, I'm going to like splash myself with blood.
Yeah.
Or whatever, or like come in and transform a car and jump out.
Yeah.
So I do understand that you've engaged in that kind of dialogue with your fan base. So, of course, they're going to take it.
Mm.
But just be decent. Some of the reports
about... Be a decent human being.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's definitely, I think at the end of the day, Charlie herself has come out and said, I didn't have a problem with any of these. And I kind of feel like the people writing that article, trying to make an issue out of it, are actually guilty of doing the exact thing that we're talking about, which is using people to get clicks and to get likes and that sort of stuff.
I think it's kind of like an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
When I read that statement, it honestly felt like someone saying, I can't really badmouth this demographic or this area of my fan base.
Then you're still speaking on her behalf and assuming what you know better than what she knows.
She's made statements before about like cancelling meet and greets because she was uncomfortable in them.
Oh.
And she's done Instagram live videos being like, I think I'm going to cancel my show because these people were tearing me apart.
Wow.
My mental health is really bad. So when you like have that information, I wonder if Julie Andrews
had that problem as well.
Yeah, on her Instagram.
Does she
live.
Have an Insta live?
Fucking hell!
When you have that information and then you see a statement like that, yeah. you go, "Oh, I think this is kind of like towing the line right. and being like." She said a statement like, yeah. "That's not what I take away from the meet and greets. I take away the fans that tell me they the enjoy stories. My
and their money,
their music and their money.
Yeah, and the fucking money yeah.
and
yeah,
buy and
the money.
My vinyl." So I felt like it was really kind of like weighing up here, being like, I'm not going to outwardly say it was amazing that someone got me to sign their probably used douche at a meet and greet.
Yeah. I would be thrilled, honestly. But
you would. Bring your douches to the Adelaide live show.
I would love that, but I'm not Charlie. But at the same time being like, I can't outwardly like badmouth an active community that has actually... Yeah. supported me and helped me.
Yeah, it's tricky. Tricky area. And that's all, folks.
we didn't get to jazz.
We haven't talked about jazz.
Stay tuned to next week's episode. But until then, get tickets to our Adelaide live show.
Thank you for the support. A very exciting guest next week, which I won't say who yet. I want it to be a surprise. One of my favourite performers. And I can't wait to have them on the show.
It'd be very good. So thank you for the support. The Patreon, keep... Thank you for that. We'll keep providing you with lols and good content. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
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 Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.